Next normal, we study at home.
Normal, الجديد نستدي أو الدار.
The past months, from a student point of view, in three words.
Challenging, very different, and so surprisingly very mental health orientated, as well as academics, which was a nice turn of events, I guess.
Volatile, the word adaptation comes to mind very, very strongly, as well as uncertainty.
My name is Laura Eckbrecht, and I warmly welcome you to another new episode of Next Normal, We Study at Home, our podcast project where we're talking to students and student union representatives from all over Europe about what it's like to be studying right now in times of the corona shutdown, but also about the future of higher education and how we can actually take this recent situation and learn from it. This podcast project I'm doing together with my colleague Patricia Bonodo, and we're both working at the Cooperative State University Baden-Württemberg in southwest Germany, where we are working with the Next Education Research Group. One thing I really like and enjoy about this podcast project is that it makes it possible for us to have that European feeling right from home and to feel connected to people from all over Europe. We've already had such nice and interesting conversation with students from Romania, Slovenia, Belgium, Finland, and Italy. And today we are presenting you a conversation that we both really enjoyed with Edward de Gabriele and Nicole Galea from Malta. Malta is located at the very south of Europe, but still I do remember it as being very international and this way also very European. This way both Patricia and I were very curious about this conversation. When preparing the interview, I learned that KSU is the oldest student union in Europe, actually, and seeing their mascot, a jumping owl, already made me look very much forward to the interview. And yes, we were both really curious to learn about what does this special situation feel like in such a small country? Is it more intense? Is it less anonymous? And were the reactions and the perceptions different? Let's listen to our interview with Nicole and Edward.
My name is Edward de Gabriele. Within KSU, our National Students Union here in Malta, I am the Education Commissioner. I myself, on a personal side, I am finishing off my program, Bachelor of Science in Physiotherapy, after a four-year program.
My name is Nicole Galea. I just recently graduated in Philosophy and Communication, and I'm now doing a Master's in European Politics, Law and Economics. Within KSU, I'm the Culture and Entertainment Officer.
I read that KSU is like the oldest student union in Europe, right?
Yes, it's our 120th anniversary in 2021. KSU was founded in 1901, so it's been around for a very long time. And in fact, recently in preparation, we've actually started going through all of our archives.
Yeah.
Pulling out from old boxes that have been sealed for maybe even decades and going through to get a more detailed understanding of the last few decades.
Now we are interested in hearing if you want to explain a bit why you chose those words.
Personally, I think it was the first time in a while where mental health was really considered as one of the main aspects to discuss on faculty boards and on TV and Facebook. In a way that really stood out, especially for students. Obviously, we're not used to being at home as often as we are now. And it does take a very heavy mental toll on you just because you're not seeing your friends every day. You're not getting that social connection that you used to get before. You're stuck at home with your thoughts and with your understanding of reality. Obviously, that does take a toll on most people, if not all, I would say. So mental health became a very big point of conversation for everyone here. And on top of that, I would say challenging, just because it was very difficult to go from something that was completely in class, you take your own notes and then you go home and do your own research and studying, to all of a sudden, listen, we need to go online. Your lecturers need to learn how to use Zoom and they need to start conversing with you through a laptop. And you may not want to show your face because you're in your pajamas at home. And so you don't even see reactions and facial giveaways. All these things kind of became a challenge, something that we never thought would be a challenge because you usually see each other every single day.
In my case, so when the COVID situation started, I was in my final year of my bachelor program. My final year of my program is entirely practice-based. We spend the first 3 years doing lectures, but then the final year is an internship at our National Hospital, Mater Dei. when the initial reaction to COVID was to remove all people who are deemed non-essential from the hospital. And unfortunately, students fell under that category. So even though we had more than 200 hours left to complete to be able to finish our program and sit for our final exams, this was delayed indefinitely, which meant that suddenly the timeline you expect, it's fixed, there's a plan. And suddenly that plan all went up in smoke. Suddenly there's no more plan. The plan is being made up day by day. Maybe similarly to other countries in Europe, in Malta, we had a rise in cases that peaked around May, then a substantial dip in cases down to almost active cases zero. And then in July, things started racking up again. And right now, we're sitting around about 1,900 active cases in our population of roughly a bit more than 500,000. So obviously, every time you saw students getting their hopes up that things are going to go back to normal, their programs are going to get back on schedule. And again, it's fallen out of that rhythm. So that's why I think volatile and adaptability came to mind, especially because the students have no choice but to have to adapt. And it has to be a joint collaborative effort between both the students and the university itself. They have to adapt together as one team, as one unit, in order to get the best possible outcome.
Your point on adapting together, I think, is really important in this when we're talking here in this round as well. Maybe you can explain a little bit more what did actually happen in the last months. For us, it always seems very distant, the virus, even if it's here. We wondered, like, on a small island, if there's a different perception maybe, or if, like, things were different for you.
For a long time, it was, I don't really know anyone that maybe has it. It hasn't come to university. But right now, I would say it's become part of our lives and something that is part of the conversation constantly and something that isn't as distant as it was before. It's very much close to home now. I would be surprised if you're in Malta and you don't know at least one person that either had the virus or still has the virus, or know someone that maybe has the virus.
And I think as well, now that we've unfortunately have had a sharp rise in the amount of people who died from COVID-19, now I think it's become a very normal thing that you know someone who has passed away. Because again, like you said, it's a small island. Everyone knows everyone here. The death was always close to home.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to distance yourself from it here. It doesn't take much to be well known in Malta because it's such a small country. So, for example, recently, unfortunately, a cluster formed within a home for Jesuit priests, which run a lot of the education sector in Malta. For example, I was taught by some of these Jesuit priests and they've passed away now. It's hit home very hard. Majority of them, the elderly, which unfortunately has led people to relax, saying it's okay. As long as I get it, I'm young, I'll make it through. But people are unfortunately not realizing that if you're young and you can make it through in the time you have it, you might pass it on to someone who's not so lucky. As soon as the first cases hit, the University of Malta closed entirely and moved entirely online in the span of 1 to 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It was a very good response from the university. We were very happy that they made that move and that they adapted so quickly, because a lot of our lecturers and academics were not prepared for an online system. They had never used online systems for Zoom before. But given the circumstances, I think the university did a very good job. In summer, we started discussing, obviously, what's going to happen in this semester and the second semester of 2020-2021 academic year. At first, again, during the summer period, we were having a relatively good time with COVID. So we started discussing opening the university in full. Then we started discussing a hybrid system where some things are physical and some things are online. As the academic year approached, drew very close and the cases were on the rise again, we kept the hybrid system. But instead of being maybe 50-50 physical online, now it's leaned much more on the online side of things. It's only courses with small groups, like 20, maybe 30 people that are being held in person.
And on top of that, we had students that are coming in from first year who unfortunately had to miss their exams in March. Depending on those results, you'll be able to go to university. They had to be moved back, and then there was a delay in entrances at university.
Most courses have opted to forego the results requirements on a temporary basis and accept students as probational, meaning that so long as they can get through the first year of the course without failing exams, they can stay. There are some cases where it is understandable that this could not be done. So those students are actually, they did their exams instead of in May, in September. Today is the date of publication of their results, and they will be starting university should they be accepted later on in November, in about 2 to 3 weeks' time. These are mainly students who study healthcare programs where they cannot accept people without pre-qualifications.
Let's now focus on the topic of digitization, because as we heard, due to the containment measures, digitization has made a great progress or advances. If you think back to the time before the pandemic, how would you describe the state of digitization of your study courses or within your universities?
The closest thing we had to digitization is where they post our assignments / notes / presentations, maybe, because not everyone needs to do it, and where we actually submit our assignments occasionally. So digitization was at a very low level. It's definitely not the way it is right now. I would have never imagined having any of my philosophy lectures or communications lectures online via Zoom, that's for sure, completely, I think. How about health?
I had a few lecturers who were maybe a bit more tech savvy, if I may use the term. But the majority, again, you know, we receive our results, our examination results online. Before this, we used to receive digital material, notes, PowerPoint presentations online, and that was about the end of it. I had never had an online lecture.
Never.
We'd never had a guest lecture online. It was always, we want a guest lecture, we'll fly them in to Malta, not a problem.
I think the closest thing I had to any kind of digital area within a lecture was watching a video of maybe around 2 minutes.
Not to mention the 2 minutes it took for the video to be set up on the projector.
Of course.
On a scale of 1 to 10, we're starting on maybe a 3. And it's not only generational. It's not just because the lecturers are older. There are students who struggle, students who are not technologically apt. It's not something that you're born with. It's some people are better than others at it, and it's totally okay. And I think one of the nicest things I saw during the pandemic was that, you know, everyone was helping everyone. There was no more barrier between the student and the academic staff. It was all hands on deck. We all want to get through this together. And that was one of the nicer things I think we saw.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a point like the digital literacy. It needs to be acquired somehow. It's done right now, but not everybody has had the opportunity to acquire it before. I think you already gave a little bit of an answer to our next question, but I will ask it again. Do you think studying like you are doing it right now, does it actually work?
It works and it doesn't at the same time. It's nice not to have to wake up at 8 a.m. to come to university for that single lecture that you have 2 hours and then go back home, you know?
Mm-hmm. For context, contrary to universities abroad, I think no one lives on campus here.
Yes. Everyone basically lives at home or they have their own apartments anywhere on the island. Yes. So we can get to university within probably an hour max.
There was an enormous circumstance, an 8 a.m. lecture. Some students would have to leave home as early as 7, even 6:30 a.m. Now, suddenly, if you have an 8 a.m. lecture, you can wake up at 7:50. Because all you need to do is switch on your laptop, sit on your desk, and boom, you're in your lecture. Suddenly, you've transported to university.
But obviously, online, you don't have the social aspect of university that you had before, which is completely different. You know, even a conversation through Zoom isn't as easy as it would be in a lecture. Yes, technology definitely helps. And I do think that there are certain things within the technological learning process that we should adapt, like maybe recording lectures or streaming lectures. I do think that the physical aspect of it is very, very important and should be maintained. Not only for academic sake, but on top of that, there's also the social aspect of university, of coming to school and kind of seeing your friends and grabbing a coffee after. And that's part of the university experience, you know, which you don't really get from home where you'll be alone, kind of.
The mental strain on students is much higher at the moment because suddenly, where normally you've got the stress of the university, but offloading some of that is the social aspect. Suddenly that social aspect, like Nicole said, is gone for most students. And in fact, we notice the students who are on campus appreciate it much more now. Before, they would take it for granted and most days they would be fine going to their lecture and going home immediately afterwards. Now you see everyone likes to hang around campus because today I've got the one day a week maybe where I can be on campus because I've got lectures here. Yeah. So there's a newfound appreciation for that social interaction, which I think is a good thing. But like Nicole said, the interactions on Zoom are not the same. In a lecture, you're there, you're physically present. Maybe you can mentally zone out, but you're physically there. With online lectures, it becomes very easy and very tempting to maybe, you know, turn off your camera, you make a quick cup of tea or a quick coffee and then come back. It's much easier to lose focus, I think, and to lose your motivation. I personally believe very much in separating your workspace and your living space as much as possible.
Agreed.
So it's a good mental break, like that, you know, when you've left, for example, your office or your university, you know, you've gone home, then it's your time to maybe, okay, you have work to do still, but it's time to rest. And when you go to university, it's time to work. suddenly if you're living, working, studying all in the same space, that starts to become very diluted and messy. And it becomes harder to cut off, harder to take care of your own mental health and to give yourself break and time off.
Especially since in Malta, most of us live with our parents, you know, we don't live in student housing or we don't live with our friends that decided we will get a flat together so that we can study at the university. Everyone's just kind of here and everyone kind of accumulates at university. But at home, we're with our parents, which is great and definitely helped on that aspect. I was more home than I think they've ever seen me before. But at the same time, you're losing a big part of your life that was part of your life for such a long time.
Some of our parents work from home.
For sure.
So suddenly, what was before a home where everyone's out at 8 o'clock in the morning and then everyone's supposed to come back in the evening from work and from university, suddenly everyone wakes up and you're sort of allocating who's going to be where for work and lectures. Because mm-hmm. it's 3 people, 4 people, 5 people on Zoom in one home.
Yeah, I can imagine that this might be a challenging situation, even thinking of smaller children at home or, yeah.
Tell me about it. I have a little brother. He's not that young, but when he plays PlayStation, it's just a mess.
Thankfully, I have no siblings. So these are issues I did not have to deal with. And in fact, to be honest, I didn't think of that much until you just mentioned it now.
The PlayStation was definitely a point of argument between me and my brother throughout COVID-19.
The way that Nicole and Edward described the past months, the virus seemed much closer in Malta, and there was a big impact on everybody's everyday life, not only in the universities, but also for students who mostly are living at home with their parents in Malta. What a special situation. We also want to hear what people and students, and especially Edward and Nicole, have learned in the last months.
I think you already had given some indications regarding digital competences you have gained, but I am still interested in whether there are things you have learned or skills you have acquired in the past month also beyond digital skills.
I'm a person who takes a lot of interest in technology and technological advancements. So for me, the switch to digital in itself was not an issue. And I felt I already had the skills I needed. But I understand at the same time, that is not the case for everyone. Then there were other skills, though. For example, if you need to give a presentation, it's something I felt very comfortable doing. I didn't mind standing up in front of a cohort, in front of my program, and giving a presentation on one of the topics we're currently discussing. For some people, they say it's easier on Zoom because you can sort of mentally block out the audience. For me, it's much more difficult because I like to gauge reactions, change, and maybe adapt a bit on the go during a presentation. When you're on Zoom, you can't do that. It's very difficult. If you manage to fit all of the little screens of each person on one screen, you can't gauge their subtle reactions like you're in the same room. So your presentation skills have to be much better right off the bat. You'd have to have a perfect presentation almost before you even start, because suddenly you can't change it on the go according to how your audience is reacting. That was a big one for me and one I really struggled with.
I definitely gained more appreciation for YouTubers and people that do television that just talk to a camera and manage to make it work and manage to be funny and manage to be engaging, because it was definitely a process to learn that. And then kind of not very academically, I got back into painting a little bit while I was in lockdown, which was fun. Hadn't done it in a while. Definitely got back into a bit more of a workout and like fitness. It didn't last, but it happened for a moment.
Achievements for me. Obviously, I completed my final exams, which was a big one. So did you.
Yes, from home. That was an interesting,
I managed,
interesting thing to do.
Exactly. For me, going back to internship after, I think we went in after 4 months out of hospital, feeling very rusty, because suddenly what I was doing every day, I'm suddenly haven't been doing for 4 months, and I have to go back and do it again. Doing another 8 weeks of that, and then having a clinical exam in a case where essentially you're given a patient in the hospital who you've never seen before, and you have to see that person from start to finish over a 2-hour time period. So you have to assess them, see what's happening, what's going on, plan out, write analysis. And the fact that we managed to do that, both myself and my colleagues, and I'm very happy, we'll all be graduating together. And I think that was a big achievement, that we managed to do it, not as individuals, but as a group, we managed to pull through. So the fact that we all managed to get through it together and we were all helping each other out, to me, that was one of the biggest achievements, I think.
Actually, graduations is a very big heartache for us right now. They have to be postponed, unfortunately. So
the ceremonies will not be happening. Normally they happen now, November, December. The only option to host them was to host them without guests, without family members, which in Malta is a very big deal. You have your family present for your graduation, you know, your parents will come down, and usually they give you 3 invitations, 3 guests per person. The only way to do it now would have been to eliminate those guests. And it was decided, and I think most people were in agreement, that that's not a proper way to have graduations. We'll postpone them and do them properly when it is possible to do so.
But obviously it was quite a heartache for most of us who kind of look forward to graduation as being that moment where you're like, I'm done. I've done it. You know, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, some of us went by. And that's kind of like the last zone, you know, that you need to turn. But yes, hopefully that'll happen in the future, I guess.
Thanks to Edward and Nicole, we're getting such an interesting picture of the situation during COVID-19 in Malta for people in Malta, but especially, of course, for students in Malta. It's so interesting to hear about all those aspects from life at home, life at university, etc. There's a lot more that we talked about with Edward and Nicole, and we will bring it to you in a second episode that we will publish shortly after this one. We will hear more about the learnings from this situation, how the situation raised a big community spirit in Malta that has always been a big asset, how students were volunteering to help handle the situation and how they were such an important part in doing so, how mental health became more visible and a subject of conversation that it had not been that much before, and what we can take from this for the future. So watch out for our second episode of our interview with Nicole and Edward from KSU, from Malta.
Next Normal, We Study at Home is a podcast produced by the Next Education Working Group around Ulf Daniel Ehlers, Patricia Bonodo and Laura Albrecht from the Baden-Württemberg Cooperative State University Karlsruhe in Germany, strongly supported by the ESU, the European Students Union.
Next Normal, We Study at Home.
Normali il ġdid, nistudjaw id-dar.